Wow, what spirit-led worship this morning. I wasn't meant to say anything this morning, but during the worship, the Holy Spirit showed me water butts and buckets and ditches being dug. And I really sensed the Lord saying, this is the time for you to soak in the Word of God, to really read it. It's full of power. It's full of power for your life. And the whole sense that we are in a season where God is looking for those who stand on His Word. And you can't do that if you don't know it. And I'm speaking to myself as well. And I really sense we're coming into such a season of drought. There will be a drought of the Word of the Lord. You know, there will be words coming that are there to tickle your ears, but they are not the Word of the Lord. And we need to know what is the Word of the Lord in this season, because it enables you to stand when everything is shaking. And I saw the Lord supplying these water butts, and there's many across the nation that are not going to recognize the season we are in. And when it's raining, the rain will hit the ground and it will just disappear. And God is saying He's going to rain down His Spirit and He's going to rain down His Word. And there is a coming together of His Word and His Spirit. And God is looking for those people of integrity and truth. Because if we do not know God's Word, if we're not moving in integrity and truth, we will be deceived in this season. There is such an onslaught of deception and darkness. And God is saying, I'm looking for a people who will put the water butts out. You know, that you're putting the water butt of your heart and your life, and you're soaking in His Word, so that you instantly discern in your heart and in your spirit when something is being shown to you, or something is being said, or something is on the television, and your spirit will go, that's not the Word of the Lord. And, you know, I really believe God is not just calling you to be a center of healing. You know, that will come. It is coming. But God is saying, first of all, you've got to be a center of integrity. You know, God has been working on your character, and it's tough and it's awful. And we go through a real sharpening, dying time when God's working on our character. But God is saying, soak in His Word. You know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to really take this Word on myself. You know, we need to soak in the Word of God, so that when the pressure comes, it's the Word of God that comes out. You know, it's the Word of God that speaks into our circumstances and our situations. And people are going to come to you because you're a place of excellence and a place of integrity. And that's what people need when everything else is shaking, when they can't trust what the world is telling you. People are going to look for the truth, you know, and they're not going to go to some wishy-washy church. You know, they're looking for places that are in just full of the Spirit and the Word, and that are willing to speak the truth in great love to people in this season. So Father, I just thank you for your Word and for your Spirit. And I pray for each one of us today, Father, that we would put out the water butts. Lord God, that when you rain down, Lord, your Word and your Spirit, Lord, it will not be lost. Lord, it won't be, oh, didn't we have a lovely time? Lord, but we would soak it in. Yes. Lord God, we would put the containers out, Lord God, to really receive. And so that we can go back and we can soak on your Word and soak in your Spirit, so that when anyone comes to us, that's what they get. Lord God, that they receive your love and your integrity and your righteousness. Lord, I just want to bless this church and all who are here today, and pray, Lord God, that we would really be vessels that can carry your anointing and your blessing into a really difficult world, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, everyone. It's great to be back. Can't believe a year has passed, and what a lot has happened in a year. What a powerful word that is. You know, I stand here in trepidation as I bring to you the word of God, because the word of God at times can be very challenging. It's not easy, but it has power to change us, to transform us. And as we are changed and transformed, then everywhere around us can be transformed. Amen. Because he has to deal with the church first. Yes. I wonder how many of us are walking in abundant life. You know, the life that Jesus promised us. You know, in John 10, verse 10, he said, "The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life, life in abundance." You know, you mentioned all these acorns. Acorns everywhere. There's an abundance. You know, what does abundant mean? Well, it means things like plenteous. It means fullness. It means overflowing. And I love this word. It means over-sufficient. How many of us can really hold up hands and say, I am living in abundant life? Are we just surviving or are we thriving? And I believe the Lord wants to do something quite remarkable with us. Amen. You know, all of us here have come for such a time as this. You know, God has encouraged you, maybe pushed you to come, because he wants to meet with us in a deep, deep way. Amen. It's not time just to ignore what he's doing. It's time. It's serious times. And you know, Robert last night said, our hearts are open. He said, the locks have been taken away. Is your heart open? You see, we have to give permission. We have to allow our hearts to be open. And so I'm challenging you now, is your heart open? Because I really believe the Lord wants to do some deep heart surgery on each one of us. Amen. We are in a safe place. We are the family of God. So what takes place here should not be anywhere else. It's a safe place. Amen. And part of integrity is being vulnerable with each other. You know, I was talking to Steph just before, and she said, I know you're not supposed to have envy. She said, but I envy your CWM team. She said, because you're one. You know, you are one together. You love one another so much. And you see, it's the oneness of heart that enables us to hear what the Lord is saying, because there is no division. Yeah. But it only comes, and it has only come, because we are vulnerable with each other. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they were vulnerable with the Lord. They walked with the Lord. They were naked before the Lord. He saw everything about them. As soon as sin entered, they started to hide. Shame came upon them, and they hid things. They hid things from God. Well, they thought they did. And you see, that's us, isn't it? That's us. I'm speaking to myself as well. That is the church, that unfortunately, because of sin, because we don't deal with stuff, then we hide things, and we can't. This is a season where we are need to be so vulnerable. Yes, with the Lord, first and primarily, but with each other. But it's because we love each other and we don't want to stay in the place we're in. So we went on our advance weekend, and it was an amazing weekend because the Lord started, well, he continued, shall we say, to deal with stuff. And as Sue shared last night, you know, the fact that she was the first one on the floor weeping, it gave permission, if you like, for everybody else. Not that we needed permission. So this morning, when, I'm not going to say if, because I'm believing when the Holy Spirit touches your heart, if you start to cry, great, wonderful. If you start to laugh, great, wonderful. If you need to move away, great. You do whatever you feel the Holy Spirit is doing. Forget about everybody else in this room. This is going to be time for the Lord to minister to you. Amen. One to one. Amen. Forget what anybody else is thinking. It's not important. It's about one to one. And I really sense the Lord wants to start really opening up stuff. And I mean deep stuff. Stuff that we might not even be aware of. In the passage that Sue shared last night, it was from Joshua. Amazing, amazing passage. It's interesting, at the beginning of Joshua, it talks about meditating on the word day and night. So, you know, we really do need to meditate on the word day and night. And the word that Sue brought last night was about rolling the reproach of Egypt off us. So, so, so key, you know, because it's now. That reproach of Egypt is rolled off us. We are entering the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. There's an abundance. There's an abundance, that abundant life for which Jesus died for. That's what we're walking in. Even if around the world our situations can look black, we're walking in abundance because that's who God is. He's the God of the abundance. You know, whatever our situation is, he is the God who provides. Amen. He's the source of all things. And Sue talked last night about the circumcision, you know, and that, in a sense, is, you know, a lot of stuff being cut off, you know. During the pandemic, I don't know about you, but my husband and I have been through such a deep, intensely painful time where things have been stripped away. It's painful. It's painful. And then it says after that, they remained in camp until they were healed. Isn't it interesting during the last, you know, few months when we've seen an outpouring of grief in this nation? Mm-hmm. We have seen, obviously, you know, the Queen passing away to be with the Lord. But what's been quite remarkable is the thousands and thousands and thousands, apparently 250,000 people, who have felt the need to go and pay respects to the Queen. And when they've been interviewing people, they said, well, why are you here? And they've said, I don't know. Some people have said, I don't know, but I felt I needed to go. Others have said, well, I lost my grandmother. Yeah. And I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. I didn't get a chance to grieve properly. Or I brought back memories of this, when I lost this. And we're not just talking about people passing away, but businesses that have gone. Lives that have been completely changed, loss, grief. And there was a real outpouring. You know, some people, you know, stayed in that queue 24, 36 hours. Why would people do that? Because there's an outpouring. They don't know how to release that grief. There's such a lot of pain in our nation. And that means there's a lot of pain in our church. that we hold on to,
yeah,
that we don't realize we carry. And it stops us from being the people we're called to be, yeah, to be those people of abundant life. And so I want to remind us all about what Jesus did on the cross. I know you know all this, but we can know it. But can we have a deeper revelation?
Yeah.
And you know, I found over the last 3 years, the Lord has just kept taking me back to the cross. And I know it sounds very twee because that's what it's all about. But I mean, really taking me back to the cross. I just want to show this picture. I don't know if you can see that very well, but a friend of mine painted this. And it's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that picture, it's a prophetic painting, but that picture, I could not stop looking at. And the Lord was showing me so much. Because as my husband and I were going through such a rough time, it's like I was there with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Thursday night, the Passover, when Jesus shared his last meal with his disciples, these trusted disciples, it says he was treacherously betrayed by someone he walked with. Mm. Betrayal. Wonder if any of us have been betrayed. All through his life, Jesus had been mocked. Wonder if any of us have been mocked because of our faith. And then Jesus, knowing what was coming, he went to that garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, to pray. And this place is called Gethsemane, which means, and some of you may know this, it means oil press. You know, I've had the fortune of being able to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and some of you might have done. Anyone been to the Garden of Gethsemane? Yeah. Just a beautiful place. Olive trees, really ancient olive trees. And you know, it was there that Jesus prayed. And you know, an olive press, it presses, doesn't it, the olives. Quite extreme pressure in order to produce the oil. And it was here Jesus felt the weight, the great pressure that he would be under as he would bear all of our sins. That is breathtaking. He felt the weight of our sin. So let me read from Matthew 26. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Have any of you felt overwhelmed? I know Ian and I did when he was given a diagnosis of cancer. We felt overwhelmed by the circumstances because with that comes the fear. And a lot of the time it's the fear that overwhelms us. And then Jesus says, stay here, keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. He knew that he was drinking that cup of suffering, but he did it because he loves us. He loves each one of us so, so intimately. Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and he prayed, my Father, if it's possible, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more to pray, the third time saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, here comes my betrayer. Jesus did not back away from doing the Father's will. And when he needed the support, the disciples, his friends, were not there. They were asleep. In Mark's version, chapter 24, we read, Jesus became fully distressed and troubled. How many of us feel troubled at times? Feel distressed? In Luke's version, chapter 22, it says, and Jesus being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And then we read an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. You see, I read these words because it's so important we grasp that Jesus came as a man to identify with us and our sufferings. That means everything we go through, which is nothing compared to what he went through, whether it's mental, emotional, psychological, physical, Jesus understands because he's been through it. You know, even before Jesus felt the physical pain on the cross, he felt that turmoil, that anguish. I wonder if you could be really honest this morning and say, has anyone ever felt a real anguish of your soul? It usually happens in the early hours of the morning, in the darkness. Yeah, I'm not ashamed. I have. You know, when you don't know, when you're so fearful. You know, is my husband going to live? Is this the end, you know? Will I not see him for a while, you know? He's a Christian. You know, fears overwhelm us. The troubles of the world can overwhelm us. People's problems can overwhelm us. And then Jesus was taken to the cross, where he was brutally beaten. He was pounded over and over again during his trial, his crucifixion. He was mocked. He was spat on. He was beaten. They blindfolded him. They struck him on his face. He was savagely scourged by the Roman soldiers. A scarlet robe was put on his battered body. The crown of thorns was twisted and it was rammed on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. They bowed before him and they mocked him again. They spat on him and they took the staff off him and they used it to strike him on the head again and again, driving the thorns deeper and deeper into his flesh with each blow. And then he was led away to be crucified, his body nailed to the cross. None of us can ever, ever fully imagine or understand the horrifying torture, the degrading humiliation, the excruciating pain that our beloved Saviour endured for each one of us. And the very climax to Jesus' pain was when he lost fellowship with his Father. And he experienced unimaginable agony. And he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? How many times do we feel the Lord's forsaken us? And he doesn't seem to be hearing our prayers. Jesus has experienced the ultimate pain within his mind, his emotions, his body, his soul. And yet on that cross, he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Anything we go through is nothing compared to what he endured. I unashamedly share Christ's sufferings because I just know we need that deeper revelation of what Jesus has won for us on the cross. Whatever we go through, whatever in life, whatever life throws at us, Jesus understands because he's experienced it. And of course, that's not the end of the story because we know he rose again, triumphant, victorious, even over death. Death has lost its sting. So he could then appear to his disciples, still with the wounds, because he had to show Thomas the wounds, yet he was different because he had defeated death. And he was able to release his peace. How the church needs to know his peace, his shalom peace in these times, so that we do not fear, we are not afraid. Jesus ascended, as we know, and he is in glory with the Lord, his Father, and he's interceding for us. Isn't that an incredible thought? Wow. So Jesus understands. Jesus understands. Jesus understands everything about us. Growing up as a child, I'll just share a little bit about me. I'm a twin, as I may have shared last time. But we would watch our mum in severe pain because soon after we were born, she developed rheumatoid arthritis. And in those days, there wasn't the treatment there is now. And she started with a frozen shoulder. And she already had two little boys. There's only about 2.5 years between all of us. So imagine two little boys and twins. And they didn't have the help that they have nowadays. So she, and my dad was working all hours. So she was really struggling in a lot of pain. And so as we grew up, we just saw it as normal, you know, to have a mum who suffered with pain. And of course, with flare-ups, you know, once, you know, the pain, once it's settled, you know, you can get back to doing a little bit more. But it affects any joints within the body. And it strikes at any time. And fortunately, my mum was given some treatment. It was called Gold, and it seemed to work for her, and it sort of kept things at bay. But she was never well. And so we always were doing things for her. We always felt we needed to help her. So when others were going out and having fun, we were there, you know, cleaning, washing, whatever it is, ironing and so on, you know. But we watched our mum in pain. It's so hard, isn't it, if you watch a loved one in pain. And then, you know, she's had kidney stones. Anyone had kidney stones? So painful. Oh. During the pandemic, acute pancreatitis, where she had to be rushed into hospital. We couldn't even go in and see her. You know, she's got macular degenerative disease, so she can't see very well. All alone in a hospital. You know, such pain is so hard. And then after a second journey to hospital, they found she had a stone blocking the bile duct. And that's why it was so, so painful. So she had to have a procedure to remove that. And then a bowel blockage. I mean, what's this about? You know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Just seems pain after pain after pain. But sometimes life throws these things at people. And then just before Christmas, my husband's aunt, you know, had a massive stroke. And we've had to watch her being trapped inside her body, not being able to move, swallow or communicate. It's all been really, really distressing. And when Ian was going through all this cancer diagnosis, you know, the pain in the night, oh, goodness me. Now, I share this not for you all to feel sorry for me, but to tell you, in the midst of all this, God is good. Amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's in the midst of all of this. You know, last February, Ian lost his dad, and we've been caring for his dad, you know, who not only had advanced prostate cancer in a wheelchair, but had dementia. But he had the most glorious death we could ever have wished for, because God made a way in the midst of all this darkness. And I can tell you that every single time there's been pain, we've watched pain. Who do we go to? We go to the Lord Jesus, because he understands. Amen. And he can give us the strength to get through it. And now I just want to read for you, Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms. And I just want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just hear these words that God is speaking to each one of you now. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You've laid your hands on me. This is just too wonderful, deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Where I go, your hands will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There's no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There is no difference between the two. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. Thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place. Carefully, skillfully, you shaped me before I became me. Before I'd even seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. And when I awake each morning, you're still with me. Wow. Only the Lord could love us like this. Wow. And that's how his plan was in the Garden of Eden. No barriers. He knows us intimately. And that's why David, who's described as a lover after God's heart, he could write these psalms because they tell of his anguish. They tell of his pain. He doesn't hide anything from the Lord. The Lord is light. We can't hide anything from the Lord. In these days, we cannot hide anything from the Lord. Amen. We cannot hide anything from the Lord. It's time for us to allow the Holy Spirit to do some really deep, deep work in our hearts. Over the last 3 years, the Lord has been doing some really deep, deep, deep stuff in me. And that's why I can share it. You can only share things if you've experienced it. And it feels like an acceleration. I've known the Lord since I was 14, so it's a long time. And we all know the Holy Spirit brings to light things, and then hopefully we deal with them. And if we don't, he keeps on reminding us and bringing to the surface. But in these days, he's dealing so deeply with things that we don't even realize we carry. And it's a pain that some of us, I think all of us, carry pain. that hasn't been dealt with. So 2018, when we went to Ghana and we were we prayed that prayer to the Lord, if there's anything in me that's blocking you from moving, deal with it. It's a dangerous prayer to pray. But you see, God wants our whole hearts to worship him. This is what it's about, our whole hearts. So we prayed it. And then that night, 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord started with Sue. And dealing with deep stuff. Deep, deep, deep stuff. And, you know, that's her story to tell. And you can read in a book about her. And, you know, after we prayed and we worshipped, Sue was released, delivered from that which was holding her captive. Yeah. You see, Jesus has come to set the captives free. Yes. And then just as we were lying down, thinking, oh, we've got a busy day now, he started on me. And you see, it's when we least expect it. But if we're willing, if we allow him to touch parts of our heart that's been hurt. And, you know, the Lord took me back to when I was 4 or 5, when I was a little girl, you know, in the water, paddling in the water with my dad and my sister, you know, in the waters in Wales, you know, thinking this is great. But my dad didn't realise the currents are so strong. And the current took me. I went under the water and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get up. I was screaming, but nobody could hear me because I was under the water. And there was a fear that crept into my heart and I had no idea. And my sister, you know, being so sensitive because we're twins, saw I was struggling and screamed at the top of her voice. And my dad realized and picked me up. And you see, I'm sure my mom and dad would have, you know, cuddled me and said, oh, you're okay, you're all right. And, you know, that's fine. But, I carried pain from that trauma and it had never been dealt with. And the Lord went right down to the roots to deal with it that morning. And I can remember just, it was the screaming, actually, just coming out of me. Because I'd been under the water, and no one could hear that scream. And the Lord was releasing that scream. You see, we are complex beings, and we internalize so much. And as Christians, we're really bad at it, because we think it's failure to admit that we've got a problem, we've got an issue. But actually, we've got to, it has to be exposed. Otherwise, it messes up with us. And so as a result, and I had no idea, it left me with fear, lack of confidence, because, you know, it was there with me. You know, I was a timid little girl. You know, I didn't, you know, want to be in any spotlight. I, you know, shied away from things because there was a fear there, which I didn't know I had. It's what's left within us. And the Holy Spirit is the master of searching our hearts and discovering. And then as it's brought to the surface, it can be dealt with. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it means, you know, we might have to forgive people because it may be hurt that someone's caused, maybe through broken relationships. You know, and we may think, oh, yeah, I've forgiven that person, but there's still a pain there. It may be, you know, you've lost your business, you've had hard times, and you feel, you know, that someone's to blame. Maybe you've even blamed God. You know, if Jesus could pray on that cross, Father, forgive them. Then that is part of what we have to do to forgive, to repent. You know, of the things we've done as well to cause hurt. Then most of the time I spend praying with people who've been hurt in church. That is so wrong. But it's time that we forgive one another. Amen. And we have what we call unoffendable hearts. You know, we're quick to ask for forgiveness. Even if that person doesn't even realize they've hurt us, we say, you know, we're sorry. And it's interesting, you know, when you're married as well, you know, two become one. You know, as Ian's going through stuff, you know, through this intense time, the Lord's bringing stuff up from Ian's past. You know, from his work experience when people have been horrible to him. And, you know, as a leader, I think people can be horrible. They really can. And they don't realise how much they hurt. Yeah. And although you carry on, it hurts. There's pain. There's like a residue of pain left. You know, and even though my husband could forgive people, there's still some pain left. Is this making sense to people? Can you relate to this? The number of times, you know, my husband's come home from work, you know, and he's been at the point of despair. You know, but we've prayed and we've given it to the Lord. But during this time, these last few years, we found we were taking communion every day. And during this time, the Lord was really revealing to us just what Jesus had done for us on the cross. How his body was broken, how he was misunderstood, how he was disappointed with his so-called friends, how he was betrayed. I can't tell you at key times when my husband needed people to support him, they were not there. Jesus understands. Jesus understands.
Amen.
Because he has been through it. He understands. So it's time for us to be so open and vulnerable with the Lord, allowing his Holy Spirit to touch our hearts, to bring to the surface anything that needs to be dealt with. Isn't it amazing how the Lord connects you with people you need to hear speaking? That's why the body is so wonderful. I thank God every day for the body. It's amazing because each one of us is made in the image of God. And I just happened, well, a friend of mine sent me a link to Ian Andrews. Anyone heard of Ian Andrews? Yeah. Okay. In my ignorance, I had heard of him, but I didn't really know the significance of who he is. And for those of you who don't know, Ian Andrews, he has had, still has, an amazing healing ministry. You know, the Lord, years ago, he was anointed by Catherine Coleman. And any of you who've read about Catherine Coleman, you may have even, you know, been under teaching with her and so on. You know, she had an incredible healing ministry. Wherever she went, you know, people were just healed. She could walk through hotel rooms and people, you know, were healed. Incredible, incredible. And anyway, he was prayed for and he had anointing from Catherine Coleman. God had told her, I want you to pray for, I think it was about 70 people, and he was one of them. And at the time when he received this anointing, it was too much for him. He said he was early on in his ministry, and it was too much because God was showing him all sorts of things about people, and he just couldn't cope with it, all the details and everything. So he said, Lord, I can't cope with this. So the Lord sort of stopped the weightiness of it, but he still flowed in such a powerful healing anointing. And anyway, it's only recently, and some of you may have been in this Zoom meeting, I don't know. But he had a dramatic encounter with our Heavenly Father. And he found himself on the floor. And he was in excruciating pain. And he was incredibly tired. And he was really weak. And he actually felt this was his time. He was going to be with the Lord. And it was in this weakness, in this frailty, he encountered the Father. He encountered the Father. And the Father told him, I want you to look at your scroll again. Now I read, didn't I, in Psalm 139 about a book. And you know, that book, it's a scroll. You know, in the olden days, they would have had a scroll. And you see, God has got a scroll for every single one of us. Even before the foundations of the earth, yeah, he knew us. He had us in mind. Each one of us has got a scroll. And so our Heavenly Father was asking Ian, just look again at your scroll. And so as Ian lay on the floor, because he couldn't move, some of us may need to be on the floor, he took him to different parts on his scroll. Now, the Lord's done this many a time with Ian. He's taken him to all sorts of different parts. But this time, he wanted him to go to the very beginning of his scroll. The very beginning. And again, he had never realized. But when Ian was born, at the point of conception, it was in September 1939. Now, very significant, because we all know the war breaking out. Can you imagine the trauma of a baby being birthed into all of that? See, we don't realize, do we? Even at the point of conception, there could be trauma centered around that. You know, we know sometimes, you know, parents, you know, may not have wanted a child. So there's that rejection that comes. Sometimes it's just the environment in which a person is born into. But the God knows. He knows every part of our lives. He knows right from the very beginning. And so, he knew the Lord wanted to heal him of this trauma that he didn't even realize he'd been carrying. And he's been ministering to so many people and healing. And then as it came to the surface, he found himself weeping. And then at times he found himself laughing. It's just how the Lord does things, you know. And then, you know, the Lord would take him to different parts. And he said, you know, it just went on. And it's still going on now. Because he had just set aside time with the Lord for him to deal with issues. I wonder, you know, how many times do people go to counsellors and spend hours and hours and hours? But we have the Holy Spirit, who is the counsellor. And I honestly so believe in my heart, because of what we've been through, the Lord wants to deal with an instant and deal with the pain. You know, Ian calls it, you know, a residue of pain. He says, you know, as the Holy Spirit's been revealing things, he said, you know, there's things come to the surface and he's just dealt with them because, you know, he's a Christian. And, you know, you're tough and you can do anything, you know. But actually it's a residue of pain that's been left that has never been dealt with. Isn't it interesting in Joshua 5? It says they stayed in the camp until they were healed. Been such a lot of pain during COVID. You know, leaders have been wanting to get back to normality. But what about the pain? What about the pain people are carrying? If we're not healed up, how can we then deal with people? And then interesting, after that it says, they celebrated Passover. Passover. When Jesus, the Passover lamb, moved from death to life. Abundant life. Amen. The promised land filled with milk and honey. It's flowing. We've been hearing, haven't we, about all this abundance coming. But we need to be healed. Yes. And then it says, doesn't it, you know, the commander has come to take charge. When we're healed, we can then hear what the Lord is saying to us. Otherwise, the pain stops us from hearing because it can overwhelm us. When we're not hearing properly. So, in obedience to what the Holy Spirit has asked me to do, but you have to be willing yourself to partner. I felt the Lord say he wants to minister in this time. And he's asked us to anoint you with olive oil. Now, it's not about the oil. There's nothing magic in the oil. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Yeah. And so if it's okay with you, just feel in this time now for you just to be still with the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to touch any part that needs to be brought to the surface. In the spirit, open your scroll. Amen. Open your scroll. Ask the Holy Spirit to take you to any parts of your life that need to be dealt with. Just open your heart. And allow and keep on allowing the Holy Spirit to touch your heart. And so, if you're ready, I can't force you to do it. But all I can say is you're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. And so, we've got the oil. And if you want to have that anointing, if you want to be set free from the pain, the residue of pain, I believe, the Holy Spirit will do it. He did on our weekend. Amazing. Incredible. We saw members of our team set free from stuff from there when they were young, and it caused them to be trapped, held captive. Doesn't matter what age. We saw physical healing. A lady in her 80s, in excruciating pain. No one could do anything with the NHS. They didn't know what the issue was. And the Lord healed her. like that. In no pain now, able to do what she couldn't do before. And so, Nikki, I don't know whether you're able just to strum just a few, just in worship, as we soak in worship, and just feel, just have time. Just have time with the Lord. Don't look at anyone. If you want to move anywhere, just move. Just have time with the Lord. It's a safe place. And Jesus knows. So come, Holy Spirit. Come and now. I just pray as our hearts are open, we just pray as we open the scroll of our life. We just pray, Holy Spirit, you will just touch. You will just touch hearts. Oh, you just bring to the surface anything, any pain that has not been released. Oh, Father, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come and touch in the deep places, the deep, deep places, those hidden places, those places that we've just kept hidden because it's been too painful. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, come now. Touch. Oh, touch and heal and set free. Set your captives free so that we can be healed. Ready. Ready to hear what you're calling us to do. Ready to step into that abundance of life, that promised land. The Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus.